Wilson vanquishes the field at Kansas.
I was trying really hard to pace myself because I believe that was our longest run of the day. And
that's our top story on this edition of Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now, here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
Kyle Larson continues to pile up the wins. That's number three with his victory at Kansas. Hi, I'm Doug Rice, joined by Alexis Erickson and Brad Gilley on the pre-All-Star edition of Fast Talk. So glad you could be with us. And Alexis, sometimes we always talk about cat and mouse and that the cat is just playing with the mice. There were times during the race yesterday that I felt like Kyle Larson was the great big cat and everybody else was a mouse that he was just kind of pushing around the room.
I mean, look, if you look at the stats that he had from this past weekend at Kansas, he was perfect. I mean, he won the pole, he won stage one, he won stage two, he won the race, he got the Xfinity fastest lap, max points day for Kyle Larson. And when Kyle Larson is on like that, it's really hard to be the mouse chasing the cat.
Brad Gilley, I don't know that any of us should have been surprised. I was looking at the numbers from the Saturday practice and qualifying sessions, and nearly in every category, I felt like Kyle Larson was number one. Single fastest lap, 5 lap, 10 lap, 20 lap average. None of us should have been shocked.
No, not really. And he's just simply so good there. He's now led more laps at Kansas Speedway than any other driver, crossed over 10,000. But the Saturday performance, the one thing that stood out to me is how much Chris Buescher must have been crushed, because he goes out there and lays down the fastest lap and qualifying goes on and on and on. And Kyle Larson's the last one to go out. And like he did a year before, by 1/1000th of a second, Kyle Larson once again overtook Chris Buescher and ended up winning the pole. And just everything about that performance, Alexis mentioned the Xfinity fastest lap. He did that on lap number two, and right now is the only driver to have a 61-point day in the current era with his NASCAR Xfinity fastest lap as well. And just everything. And he made it look easy. That was the other part. It didn't look like he even broke a sweat.
Let's go ahead and hear from the winner of the Advent Health 400.
Yeah, I was trying really hard to pace myself because I believe that was our longest run of the day. And I had been struggling a little bit at the end of the runs. You know, Chase is really good. And so I felt like I just needed to try to be better, on my end. And I don't know if it was paying off or not at the end. I was still struggling. I don't know if the right front was starting to wear a lot or what, but I was starting to lose a lot of grip. And then I was vibrating really bad. So I was afraid of right rear or something would let go. So. But yeah, great car, great execution today too for our team.
I mean, that just makes me laugh, okay? Because that whole interview, he's talking about how he was struggling, how he wasn't that good. And if that was Kyle Larson struggling, then oh my gosh, the rest of the field is in trouble.
221 laps led. Nobody else was even in the same zip code. And Brad, I think that's the second time this year we've seen this kind of dominance. He did the same thing at Bristol. That's a race that you broadcast, just went out, laid claim to the field, and everybody else was racing for second. We'll talk about some other people that might have, could have, would have, but they don't, and he does.
Yeah, again, three trips to victory lane this year, and in all three trips to victory lane, the least amount of points that he has collected in those wins is 56. I mean, so when he goes out there and wins, not only does he win, but he's strong in the opening two stages of the race and obviously the final stage. And it's one of those where when they're on top of the mountain, no one's even going to get near the top to kick him off. I mean, there was the one part of the race where Chase Elliott beat him off a pit road and was able to lead 27 laps. But then what happened with them? They had a slow pit stop and it kicked him back. And there goes Larson right again. Outside of that, anyone who took the lead only took it for a single-digit number of laps at a time. That's how good they were. They just blew past everyone when they needed to, or they stayed out front when they needed to.
And you talk about being on top of the mountain. He's now the regular season points leader. He is by 35 points over William Byron, who had, I believe, cut a tire and had an issue yesterday. 23 playoff points. The next highest playoff points is Christopher Bell at 16. I mean, when you just think about, what he is accumulating here and how that is going to help him when we get to the playoffs. It's, you know, it's incredible.
Alexis, Brad, I'll ask this of both of you. Does this feel like his championship year, when it felt almost inevitable that he was going to make it to the Final Four and then win the title? I realize we're talking about a guy that didn't even run for the championship last year, but there seems to be almost some inevitability that he's going to be the contender here, the top contender.
I think the biggest thing for me is like his bounce back ability, right? Like, he's never down for too long. I think about Darlington, right? He went out Darlington, I think he wrecked on like the first or second lap and had a terrible day. And then he goes and dominates Bristol and you know, leads every lap and is back on top. Like, he just doesn't have a lot of downtime. That team can rally and get back. And because he can do that, all these other teams you see that have slumps are in them for a while. He can have a bad day, come back and win. He maybe might have a losing streak of like five races. And that's Kyle Larson's biggest losing streak. So yes, I believe when I think about what that team is capable of, and not only him, but all of Hendrick Motorsports right now, I think they have really fast race cars. You give him a really fast race car and it's lights out for everybody else.
Brad, I'm trying not to be a prisoner in the moment here, because it's easy to do that. It's easy to watch these dominant races and say, well, that's the guy. But it's got all the hallmarks of his title run in a year that I felt like he just crushed the competition.
Hey, look, if the championship race were this weekend, I would say, yeah, absolutely, he's the favorite. But we're not even into the summer months, and that's what makes it hard for me. And I know this isn't really an answer of a yes or no, but I look at it, once we get past the Coca-Cola 600, the season changes. It does every year. We get into the summer months, where this year we have four road courses. Now, I'm not saying that's going to knock them off of their game, but so many different things happen. Last year, at the beginning of the season, William Byron won three of the first eight races. Denny Hamlin won three of the first 11. But then we didn't see them winning races again the rest of the season. So many things change throughout the course of the year. But here's where Kyle Larson has a big advantage right now. You look at the three rounds of the playoffs before the championship event. Bristol ends round one. We saw what he did there earlier this year. Kansas Speedway, the middle race of round number two. We saw what he did yesterday. Las Vegas, the opening race of round number three. How many times have we seen Kyle Larson dominate at Las Vegas Motor Speedway? The schedule sets up for Kyle Larson to make a championship run. Into Alexis Point, with three trips to victory lane, eight stage wins this year, and the fact that he did have a 48-point swing on his teammate William Byron to take over the points lead, that's a big deal, and that's even more playoffs points. I think he's going to set himself up when we get to the postseason with a lot of good tracks in each round in his favor.
By the way, the only other driver with three wins this season, Christopher Bell, finished second. I think we may be setting the stage for a nice, natural, non-contrived rivalry between Kyle Larson and Christopher Bell. I want to talk about two other drivers really quick in this segment. One that keeps getting hyped, and Brad, I'll go to you on this one. I'll go to you on the next one, Alexis, is Tyler Reddick. Every time I watch a pre-race show, oh, Tyler Reddick, man, he's due. They're fast. They're quick. 17th place finish again. No wins after 12 races in the season. Is he a little – I'm not going to use the B word and call him a bust, but is this a disappointment at this stage of the game?
It is right now, because in spite of the fact that both Tyler Reddick and Bubba Wallace struggled last year at Kansas, people have a tendency to look back further than that and go, oh, look, you know, the 2 years prior to that, 2311 Racing won all the Kansas races pretty much between Kurt Busch, Bubba Wallace, and Tyler Reddick. But to me, a lot of this is a what have you done for me lately. Texas, legitimate speed. They were one of the top three fastest cars, no question about it, but they faltered on the execution of the race. But I'm right there with you, Doug. 2311 is fast in a lot of ways. Bubba has been fast a lot. His pit crew right now is the fastest on pit road. But none of it has translated into either A, a trip to victory lane, or even B, being in contention for that trip to victory lane at the end of the race.
At this stage of the game, after 12 races, Tyler Reddick, zero stage wins. Alexis, we talk a lot about Josh Berry, another quietly efficient day, sixth place finish. I look at this almost being as much a, we're talking about the Wood brothers being relevant and racing up front again, as any other part of this equation. And there's the big difference here is Josh Berry came in and replaced a relatively inexperienced Harrison Burton.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look on paper at the stats of the 21 car this season, they have that win, right? So that's the safety net that propels them to the playoffs. But they have had better races than what they have finished also. I mean, they were able to bounce back yesterday from a speeding penalty because he was super, super fast, and he has been on intermediates. But Penske as a whole, and I do lump Wood Brothers in with Penske, that car is prepared at the Penske shop. I know we always have that little asterisk that we talk about when we talk about the Wood Brothers. But Penske, I would say, If they're not considered the best team right now, they're certainly the second best, maybe behind Hendrick Motorsports because they have a Kyle Larson. And to be able to help propel that 21 car along with Josh Berry's talent, they are fast and they are putting together races. They're just not finishing them. Yesterday was the first time really since Las Vegas that they've been able to finish a race. And do it in a good way, even coming back from a penalty.
I think week in and week out, they seem to be a sentimental favorite. That car does look so good. Let's give you the Toyota performance report. Christopher Bell, as we mentioned earlier, was second. Chase Briscoe was fourth. Tenth was John Hunter Nemechek. That's back-to-back top tens for Legacy Motor Club and John Hunter. Corey Heim in a one-off event there. Nice run, though, for Corey. 13th place finish. 17th to Tyler Reddick. Riley Herbst, 27th. Ty Gibbs, 28th. Eric Jones, 32nd. Bubba Wallace, who crashed out, finished 33rd. That is your Toyota Performance Report brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNF. What about all of the folks that could have challenged Kyle Larson? We'll break that down next.
This is the sound of a Toyota Cup car. And this is the sound of a Toyota Top Fuel Dragster. This is the sound of a Toyota GR Supra deep in a drift. And this is the sound of Denny Hamlin celebrating after stuffing the competition. You in? Get up to speed at TGRNA.com. Toyota, let's go places. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
I'm Denny Hamlin, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
At Speedway Children's Charities, our mission is simple. Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
I'm PRN's Doug Turnbull, co-host of the 5 to Go podcast, a weekly deep dive into five motorsports issues. Devin Kupka gives the Gen Z view.
One thing that I've never seen before, when the cars got four wide, everybody stood up cheering.
And championship winning mechanic Dan Elliott leans on his decades in the garage and promoting.
Unless everybody is aware of the rules, then no, it's not fair for everyone.
Listen to the 5 to Go podcast on GoPRN.com and subscribe on Apple and Spotify.
As we documented, Kyle Larson probably had as close to a perfect day as you can get on the NASCAR circuit. He collected every possible point that he could. He won the race, his third win of the season. But there were legitimate challengers trying to keep him out of victory lane. Brad Gilley, I want to start with you. His Hendrick teammate, Alex Bowman, was there all day long, but yet no roses for Alex.
Yeah, look, Alex Bowman's been fast just about every week and has climbed up back to eighth in the point standings right now, which is a good thing for him. He said he hit the wall. That slowed down his car, but this also does go to finishing and finishing well. He had another fast car, maybe a top three fast car at Texas the week before, got caught up in a wreck after having a slow pit stop. Biggest thing here, and we've talked about some drivers, you can't keep beating yourself if you're going to keep making it to victory lane and making some of the wins. And I think that's the one thing that has really stunted the team so far this year, because they've had a lot of speed, but you have to go out there and get it done just like your teammates doing.
Alexis, there was one point in this race where hopes were high for Brad Keselowski, who has had a miserable year. And as soon as we say, look at him go, he's second, he's gaining on the leaders, then all that disappears.
Yeah, and it's funny, I guess, depending on who you ask. I texted you right away, and I went, oh, no, Brad, with like a crying emoji. Not because we pull for anyone in particular, but he's had such a terrible year to see him running in second. You're like, oh, great, Brad Keselowski's finally having a good day. And then, smack, he's in the wall. I don't really know. I'm not an engineer. I wasn't able to diagnose what happened, but you have to assume they were running the air pressures a little low, which is what had caused a lot of other tire failures over the weekend. And it just jumped out and bit them. And that could also be the reason why they had that speed, because they were kind of teetering on, you know, what was appropriate for the tire air pressures. But still, when you think about Brad and you think about him as a veteran and what he's gone through this year, it was a bit of a blow to see him, you know. Yeah, exactly. Pun intended.
Oh, wait, that's awesome.
It was a bit of a blow to see him hit the wall, unfortunately.
It is a story as old as racing itself. I think the old expression, he's running like Jack the Bear. I don't know who Jack the Bear was. Maybe Jack Nicklaus, but who knows? Anyway, he was running fast, but when you see that, there's a reason that they're super fast.
Yeah.
Because they are running lower tire pressure sometimes, and it bites you in the end when the thing goes out. And the next thing you know, Brad Keselowski is in the fence. A guy that did not have a clutch performance yesterday was Denny Hamlin, Brad.
Oh, nice. I like that. Another pun intended. Hey, look, 2 weeks in a row for Denny Hamlin. An engine failure at Texas, last. A clutch failure at Kansas Speedway, third from last, and that's tough. Bigger thing here is he dropped four spots in the standings. And as we start talking about, and I know we're not even halfway through the regular season, but we're going to talk a lot about regular season points and the extra that you get. Those 4 points right now that he dropped when it would come to extra playoff points at the end of the regular season could be the difference between a championship berth and not making the championship round as well. So who knows? But look, they have speed. And that's a good thing. Here's the other thing. Denny said at Texas that engine failure, that was the third race that engine had been run. And typically when you hear about an engine being run a third race, you don't hear about that at Texas. But you hear about it because they have to run an engine, a sealed engine, so many times. So if they can run one 3 times, that will give them an extra fresh engine at maybe a crucial point of the season. So we might be working with trying to get rid of some parts that we have to run a certain amount of times now to get a big payoff once we get to the postseason.
So is that kind of like running low tire pressures to get a big payoff and it not working out for you?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, yeah.
But you see examples of both of those all the time.
Yeah.
For a while, the Legion of Chase Elliott fans had a reason to be excited at Kansas.
They did. I mean, he was fast. He led laps. He went up and showed Kyle Larson that he was there and he had a fast car. Unfortunately for Chase, because I think Chase himself as the driver had a pretty good race, probably one of the best races he's had in a while. It all came crumbling down on pit road when they had an issue with the jack, and you know, you lose that valuable track position, especially a little bit later in the race that he did, and you don't have enough time to make it back. And I think they ended up finishing 15th. So unfortunately, one of those deals where the finishing position on paper does not really reflect the way that they raced.
Brad, I had a hard time keeping up with Chase because he was running the Amazon Prime colors and they're a mixture between Carolina and Petty Blue. It just didn't seem to fit.
All right, so this was my problem yesterday. I kept looking up, And it's like, oh, there's Chase. Oh, wait, no, that's Denny in the progressive car. Oh, wait, there's Denny. Oh, no, that's Chastain in the Busch Light car. Oh, wait, there's Chastain. Oh, no, yeah. That's Chase. The three of those cars for me sitting at a little bit of a distance from a television, I kept looking up going, wait, let me make sure okay, that's who that is. They did look very similar.
I had the same issue. I kept mistaking Denny for Chase and Chase for Denny because the blue in their paint schemes was so similar. You know, the white space on the hood, too. When you were looking at it straight on, it was hard to identify.
All right, so everybody is aware, next week at North Wilkesboro, that is a Fox broadcast of the NASCAR All-Star Race. That will conclude their broadcast season. The next five races, starting right here at Charlotte Motor Speedway, where our studios are located, will be on Amazon Prime. So just for all the folks that want to watch the races, if you are not an Amazon Prime subscriber, then you need to do one of two things. You need to make friends with somebody that is and go hang out at their house for the next five races or dive in and subscribe to Amazon because that's how you're going to watch it.
You know, the interesting part about that is when Amazon was announced as being a partner this season, I think the stat came out and I don't remember exactly who put it out. There are actually more households that have Amazon Prime accounts than have cable. So you would think that a streaming provider would maybe have less access, but I think they might kind of have more access because it's Amazon. It seems like everybody has Amazon Prime.
I agree with you intellectually, yeah. Alexis. Those numbers are impressive, but there will be a segment of the population
1,000%
on Memorial Day Sunday, Brad, that are apoplectic that the race is not on where they usually watch it.
Yeah, look, we all have Amazon Prime, number one, for free shipping. Secondary for probably watching it. And among all of those people who have Amazon Prime for shipping, that doesn't necessarily mean they have a smart TV. I hope they do. There are plenty of ways to watch it. And I don't know if a comparison to cable, now that so many people have cut the cord, is a great one, because we all have different ways of watching our television now in the way it works. But to Alexa's point, Amazon Prime has such, like penetration into all of the households practically across the United States. It is awesome. I was thinking when he was leading the race, so like, oh my gosh, this is another one of those perfect storylines. Watch Chase Elliott win in the Prime sponsored car.
Right.
Literally the final points race before we switch over to Prime for their five race portion of the season.
Well, there's still time for him to do it this weekend, the race before Prime takes over. But I will say, for those out there that might not have it, that might not, you know, be able to go see it at a friend's house, the Performance Racing Network will have the Coca-Cola 600 coverage starting at 5 p.m. The Sunday before Memorial Day. So, you know, we got you covered.
I'm going to watch the race. I think I'm going to be in a suite at Speedway.
Sweet.
I'll send you pictures of my shrimp cocktail.
Hey, if you've got shrimp cocktail, I'm coming to you, buddy.
Hey, North Wilkesboro is getting ready to host the All-Star Race for the third time. We'll talk about that.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
I'm Alex Bowman, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Our planet is home to some of the most amazing creatures you could ever imagine, from the biggest bears to the smallest birds and everything in between. If we want our kids and their kids to experience the magic of wildlife that we have today, it's on us to step it up and take action. You can make a difference. Learn more about wildlife conservation in your area and how you can help. This is Eli Wenders. Let's make sure our wildlife is around for generations to come. Y'all take care of the earth and it'll take care of us. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
The speed, the drama, the only NASCAR race in California. The Toyota Save Mart 350 NASCAR Weekend rolls into Sonoma Raceway July 11th through 13th. 3 days of high-speed thrills, edge-of-your-seat action, and family fun in the heart of wine country. Bring the whole family. Kids' tickets start at just $10. Don't miss NASCAR's biggest stars battling for victory. Get your tickets now at SonomaRaceway.com. This is NASCAR. This is California. This is Sonoma.
Years ago, North Wilkesboro Speedway came back online for the NASCAR All-Star Race. I will think for that year, it was the story of the year. The buzz about the bringing back of that track, all the heritage that came with it, the history and the story. And Brad, you and I were up there doing PA that first year, as we will be again for year three. And there are very few stories in my time of covering NASCAR that were maybe as much fun as the reemergence of North Wilkesboro Speedway.
Yeah, so much went into this. I mean, look, I used to say, quit asking. You know, there would always be some young enterprising reporter that would drive up there and do that story on North Wilkesboro is still here. And I thought, boy, you're wasting your time. Never going to happen. Then comes Dale Earnhardt Jr. We need to map North Wilkesboro for iRacing. And he goes out there with some of his folks, Marcus Smith, and some of the folks from Speedway Motorsports with a bunch of weed eaters and lawn equipment, because that's what they had to do to the racetrack itself. And they got it out there. And the next thing you know, maybe we could race here. And we saw that Cars Tour weekend and a lot of really cool things happen. But what I liked about that first year is because it all came together with all of those things, just sort of the seed of an idea. And then it worked out. But they were able to preserve that racetrack, which had last been raced on 25 years prior with NASCAR in 1996, and I thought that was a neat thing. But then Kyle Larson went out there and dominated, and we knew the track was just in rough shape. It needed to be repaved. Joey Logano goes out there last year and dominates. This year, I kind of look forward to seeing how North Wilkesboro evolves even further. And for me, I still think it is one of the bigger stories of the season that we get to go back there.
And footnote, Joey Logano last year had 800 laps of additional practice on that track because that team got to do the tire test. So it's not a surprise that they went up there and wiped the slate clean in the second All-Star race. Alexis, you spent a day in the PA booth with me last year.
So I was going to say, if there's one request I have for this year, it's Brad, please make sure your travel plans are sewn up, okay? Because I don't need to be in the PA booth again this year. Last year, Brad couldn't make it there in time, and I pinch hit it, and boy, it was rough. But I made it through.
But you know, Brad hits on a point. I think for the All-Star race, the track is still the star.
It is. Oh, for sure. Yeah. 1,000%. And you get on the property and being repaved and all of those things and all of the money that, you know, North Carolina and Speedway Motorsports have put into that facility, it has a feeling of being new, but also being super nostalgic. Yeah. Like you get like the sign, the big sign that you see when you come in and just the way you feel when you're there. There aren't a lot of racetracks that give you that same feeling. There are some, but there aren't a lot. And it's been able to do that, in my opinion, you know, for the last 2 years and for a third year, I think it's going to do it again.
Brad, this year we have something called the promoter's option. It used to be the promoter's option was they could allow to put an additional driver in the field. Way back in the day, if a certain driver didn't qualify or there was a local guy trying to get in the show, the race promoter could say, I want Brad Gilley to race, and so you got in. This time it's a little bit different.
Yeah, I like the promoter's caution. Yeah. Now, there are parameters. It's not like we could be coming to the white flag and Marcus Smith say, throw the yellow, and automatically have a green-white checker finish. That's not the way it's going to work in this 250-lap event. It's going to get to a certain time, and you can no longer have the promoter's caution. But, hey, let's just say Joey Logano goes out there and starts whipping up on the entire field again like he did last year. Then the promoter, Marcus Smith, has the option to say, let's tighten the field up just a little bit. Look, we saw this in SRX, if you remember. SRX actually had a rule. If we go so many laps under green, the caution's coming out, whether we need it or not. And I think I'm kind of okay with this because there is nothing wrong in a special event like this. It's designed to entertain with a $1 million payday for the winner to do things to spice it up a little bit. And for fans in the grandstands, we're all going to be watching that lap count and go, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And then how can the pit crews perform? That's going to be the good part of it.
So I want to know how it works, though. Like, is Marcus going to be carrying around, like, a, you know, like the football, like the nuclear football? And then when it's time for the caution, he's going to, you know, put in the code and hit them, and then the yellow lights are going to go. Like, I'm very curious, the behind the scenes. You know, how
is he
going to
be up there
work
with the NASCAR race director standing behind him and tapping him on the shoulder? Yeah. Going, now, let's do it.
Yeah.
Hit the button. Yeah. I like that. And depending on who's leading, if they lose the lead, this could be a nuclear event for them as well. So we'll see.
Exactly.
I like it. I'm okay with it. I mean, it's a tricked up race.
Yeah.
And the All-Star race, it shouldn't be lost, has been the testing grounds for so many different things. They actually floated the idea this year of letting them run what you brung. That got shot down. I'm sorry it did, because I think that would have added another element. But glad to see it back. The Motor Racing Network will have the coverage here on your airways, and Brad Gilley and I'll be up in the PA booth yelling at people. So looking forward to that.
Entertaining. Entertaining.
The promoter's caution option. I saw this more than once when Humpy Wheeler was the head man here at Charlotte Motor Speedway. He would go over and raise all kinds of holy hell with Mike Helton and the NASCAR people to throw a caution. I mean, you could hear him. You're killing me here. You know, there's 100,000 people. Surely somebody's throwing a beer can out there.
Right.
You know, you got to help us out. That's before the TV coverage was as good.
Mm-hmm.
You could get away with the Phantom caution.
Sure.
So we'll talk about that and the fact that the NASCAR championship race is going to have a new home, and where else could it land? We'll break that down.
Attention men, here's a great way to have more fun in bed and save money. If you want to take something like Viagra, they can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Yes, $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men to improve their performance and confidence. You'll love them. And now for the price of two or three pills, you can get 50 or more for around $100. You'll save hundreds of dollars off retail prices. That's enough to buy your date a night dinner. Don't pay expensive prices for Viagra. Call now. Order 50 or more of our blue pills and pay as little as $2 a pill and save hundreds of dollars. Call anytime for confidential shipping.
Call Steel Man Pills now. 800-475-8167. 800-475-8167. 800-475-8167. That's 800-475-8167.
I'm Bubba Wallace, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Time to pull down on the handle and start rolling them here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
The green flag flies at the Atlanta Motor Speedway.
We're about to contest the Coca-Cola 600.
We're racing at Texas Motor Speedway.
Now Keselowski goes way up the racetrack.
Here comes Harrison Burton. He rockets to the lead.
Trouble. Car goes around. It's Chris Buescher.
Joey Logano battles to the outside. They come back to the start-finish line.
Bubba Wallace looks inside, and now here's Byron. Takes a quick left to block him. They head back to one.
Here goes Ross Chastain. He's going to the bottom of the racetrack.
Bubba goes up. Blaney hits the outside wall off of turn two.
Can Christopher Bell do anything with him? He gets down to the bottom of the racetrack.
Briscoe dives to the bottom of the racetrack. Side by side. They get loose. They spin. Now Tyler Reddick does a 360. So does Briscoe.
Heading into turn number seven as he wraps it around. The crowd is cheering for Daniel Suarez here on this final lap.
Allmendinger gets into Alex Bowman. Ross Chastain back out to the front for the final time.
This is PRN.
It is Fast Talk, and we have talked ad infinitum about the NASCAR championship race moving to different locales. And finally, NASCAR has confirmed that in 2026, Homestead Miami Speedway, apparently, according to most pundits, the best speedway ever constructed anywhere on the entire planet, will host the race. Actually, I like Miami Homestead. They have a but I do get tired of the endless. Oh, it's the greatest racetrack
ever. Well, Kansas
ever.
Is starting to get that.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit more than Homestead, but it's exciting.
It is.
I think it's a great venue.
It
is.
I like it.
And it's exciting, I think, personally, that because if anybody has listened to the show for the past however long I've been doing it, one of the things I've been saying is I think that the championship race needs to go to different racetracks. It doesn't need to be at the same racetrack every single year. Though I think Phoenix is a great facility and at times has put on decent shows. I don't think any of them have been super great. Obviously, with the storyline of the playoffs, it makes it more exciting.
It's amplified.
But I think Homestead, you know, obviously it has been the championship race before. We have seen great races there. But I'm more excited about where it could potentially go after 2026. And there are lots of, I mean, maybe not lots, but there are certainly a handful of tracks that I think could host and be good hosts for the championship event.
Brad, I know you have talked about this incessantly as you host several shows on Sirius. Good move?
Great move. One that should have happened back in 2014, honestly, when it comes to rotating the championship race. When they announced this format that we're going to have three rounds of three races each in a championship race, I literally instantly thought to myself, oh, this is great. Now we're going to treat our championship event like a Super Bowl, like a college football national championship, like an Olympics, like a World Cup, where cities are going to be awarded the championship event. I was a little disappointed when that didn't happen, although we saw a lot of really cool things happen in Homestead, Miami. But I know when people start talking about the different tracks we can go to, number one, people think of the southern states, Las Vegas, Texas, you know, so on and so forth. Hey, look, we've raced at Kansas on October 24th before. That's like a week before the championship round happens. We race in Martinsville, Virginia today, now, a week before the championship round happens. So you can have it in a lot of different places. But for me, this is not about the track as much as it is about the community. I feel that they need to have community involvement, and just like every other major sporting event that holds a championship round on a rotating basis, this needs city and community involvement. These cities, communities, and racetracks need to bid, need to submit to NASCAR why they're the ones worthy of having a championship round, because Phoenix has done a great job. I'm talking about the city of Phoenix. We need that to happen everywhere and then some.
Yeah, I agree. I think having these racetracks and these markets bid means bringing fresh ideas, bringing, you know, fresh perspective. Like, I think it should be here in Las Vegas or here in Texas, and this is why, and this is what we're going to do to make it special. And I think just that process of having to say, okay, well, if you give it to us, we're going to do this, we'll just ramp it up even more so than it already is.
NASCAR's already ruled out running it at Talladega and Daytona. They don't want to put it on a plate type track.
And I think that's smart.
And they've taken road courses off the list.
Yes.
Everything else is open. I just jotted these down. I've got seven tracks that I think would be possibilities, and you guys can debate these. Brad, you mentioned Kansas. I see no problem there. Yeah, it might be a little chilly. Who cares?
Mm-hmm. Wear a jacket.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, go buy some hand warmers and let's go racing. What about Martinsville? Brad mentioned that too. It's 1 week. It's literally the week before the championship race.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see any problem with that. I mean, I certainly think when you think about the history of NASCAR and what Martinsville has meant, it deserves a place in, you know, the potential choosing of a champion. So I don't have any problem with Martinsville.
All right, Brad Gilley, over to you. Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
Easy. Look, already the community supports that with what the Convention and Visitors Bureau has done as far as helping to attract people to come to your city. And this is the thing. Las Vegas is a really nice, flashy, large town when it's going to come to community involvement and being able to bid and submit and say, this is what we can do. Las Vegas has the capacity for that. A large city is able to do that.
And I'm sure even if it's 8 years before they get there, Wayne Newton will still be around.
Probably.
I'm convinced he's going to outlive everyone on the planet. Texas Motor Speedway, Alexis.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about what we just saw there, you know, I thought it was a very compelling race. And I think especially, I mean, look, we don't know. We have no idea how far down the line these could come to fruition, right? So you asked me about Martinsville. Right now, typically, the short tracks are not having the best racing that we're seeing on the circuit. But who knows what that's going to be 5 years from now when Martinsville may get awarded a race. Same with Texas. I mean, Texas has had really great racing. Intermediates have raced really well. Hopefully that continues to stay the same. But I think Texas as a venue and as a market would be fantastic to host the championship race.
Brad Gillard, what about the track that has too many names? Darlington.
Darlington?
I was going to say,
look,
yeah.
I think geographically and entertainment-wise, yes, Darlington. I think there is a struggle there. Two things. Number one, I think it's going to be hard for a small town to win a bid for a championship event. I feel the same way about Martinsville. The other thing with Darlington, look, it has a crown jewel event that kicks off the playoffs, and that is on Labor Day weekend. Are you going to race there twice in the playoffs? I don't see them. They tried it once, taking Darlington away from Labor Day weekend. They did it for about a decade or more.
Well, they stuck it on Mother's Day. We saw they did.
We found out that's where Darlington belongs. So as a racetrack, yeah, but we can't limit this to looking at the racetrack. We have to look at this as where it is and the city and all of those other things as well. So I don't feel that where Darlington is and where it currently sits on the schedule, I don't know that I would like it for the championship round because I wouldn't want to see the Southern 500 move away from Labor Day.
All right. I want to throw one wild card into the mix here. Let's say NASCAR went to Marcus Smith and said, how would you like to host the championship race? The caveat being there is no Roval, but we will decide the championship in Concord, North Carolina on the oval at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Is that enough inducement? Here's what's behind door number one.
I think that that's a tough question because, in my opinion, the Roval has created this identity that I think is very strong. Now, you can't look at it where the car is right now and what is happening with the car and all of that. But you've had these people that are like, we want the oval back. We want the oval back because this car is racing so great on the ovals. But in my opinion, to be able to have the championship race here in Charlotte, I would, again, because it's on a rotating basis, not going to happen every year. You're only saying goodbye to the Roval for one season. I would do it if I were Marcus. But
all right, Brad,
he's a lot smarter than me, so I don't know.
Teeter-totter of decisions here.
There's no teeter-totter for me. You race at Charlotte three times that year, and oval, Roval, oval. I'm just being greedy. In all seriousness, to Alexa's point, you're only asking to give it up for 1 year. But here's the deal. This meets every part of the criteria, all right? Number one, it's a world-class facility. Charlotte Motor Speedway is an amazing place to host a championship event. Number two, it is truly the heart of NASCAR country. A championship event is deserved of Charlotte Motor Speedway for sure. And the market itself. Look, Charlotte is one of the fastest growing parts of this country. It is a large city. It is a large metropolitan area. It fits every single part of what I feel needs to go into being awarded a championship event.
I kind of like your idea first. See, I just thought,
let's be greedy.
Okay, let's get three races at Charlotte. And for that 1 year, they could spin the all-star race off to a non-SMI track in exchange for getting the championship race here.
So now we're
make that the Roval.
I am wheeling and dealing with Marcus's money and race dates. Sorry, boss. Sorry about that. All right, green flag, black flag are next.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Hey, this is Michael Walter for Echo Park Automotive, and I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half the inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000, and car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 100,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure everyone drives away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
I'm Eric Almirola, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, it's PRN's Brad Gilley. Did you know you could take PRN with you anywhere? That's right. By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcast from anywhere. Make sure you don't miss a second of the action from the track. Download today for station listings and on-demand access to your favorite studio shows like Fast Talk, The Pit Reporters, or Garage Pass. Get all the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app, available in the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
Hey, I'm Corley Joy for Speedway Children's Charities. The mission for Speedway Children's Charities has remained true since its founding almost 40 years ago, to care for children in educational, financial, social, and medical needs in order to help them lead happy and productive lives. So many children have benefited from our group in the past, but we need your help now more than ever. There's so much we can do when we all join together, so let's start today. Visit speedwaycharities.org to learn more. I thank you in advance for your help.
We get into green flag, black flag. We're going to be a little interpersonal here. Alexis, did you have a great Mother's Day?
I did. Yeah. I will say, you know, of all the things that happened to mothers on Mother's Day, my son telling me that I was his best friend, which he did probably five times yesterday, really took the cake. So if you're having a bad day, have a three-year-old tell you that they're your best friend, because
that's sweet.
It doesn't
get really
old.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And I like the fact that your son, Ollie, loves to see pictures of construction equipment.
Oh, he loves it. He does. He loves. But I mean, he's a three-year-old boy. What three-year-old boy doesn't love to see? You know, bulldozers and backhoes and dump trucks.
I'd like to see your bill for Tonka toys. Right?
Well,
it's probably pretty substantial.
It is.
All right, let's move on to this.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
It is the part of the show that just won't go away. Not that we would want it to. Oh, it's fun stuff. I've got three carefully prepared statements here.
Way to sell that, Kent.
Thank you.
We keep trying, but it keeps coming back.
We keep trying to kill it. Here we go. Three carefully prepared statements. I will read them. If our panel agrees with them, they'll give it a green flag. If they disagree, it gets a black. You frightened me, David. And if they're all in agreement. Yeah. Here we go. We start with Brad Gilley today. Kyle Larson will win at least six races in the regular season.
Oh, green flag. Easy. Easy. They're every racetrack coming up among the next 14 of the regular season are good tracks for Kyle Larson.
All right, Doug Rice.
Green flag. He'll win the All-Star race, and he'll back it up at 600.
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh.
Yeah. Cue the wow, David, because I'm going to say green flag, too. I don't know how you can't. That, I mean, simple as that. He's on another level.
All right. I told my daughter, we bet a lot while she was home over the winter, and I would bet her on this and bet her on that. And I said, I started to offer you $100 if you pick the winner of the Coca-Cola 600. But then I was afraid she'd pick Kyle Larson.
And you'd be out $100.
$100. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. Brad Keselowski will not climb out of the top 30 this year in points. Alexis.
Yeah, I have to say green flag on this. I hate it. I hated it when he hit the wall this past weekend at Kansas. But that team is just, they're struggling. And I know that the way this, you know, that this points system is, all he needs to do is have one good race and get to victory lane, which he has done before. Just have one good race and that will propel him. But I don't see it happening right now.
Brad Gilley?
Green flag. The theme of Keselowski's season is going to be all of the entertaining ways of how he doesn't make it to victory lane. We saw yesterday they blew a tire while running second. I think we're going to find new wacky ways for someone to end up not finishing a race.
Doug, what do you think?
I'm going to go black flag. I think there's got to be at least one day that he gets a top five when everybody else crashes out or the problems beset them. I just
I'm the hoping. Forever optimist.
Yeah, right. Right. He'll still be 31st in points, though.
Yeah, you're right, Brad. He'll probably finish second somewhere and still not pass.
That hole
he is
deep.
Behind Riley Herbst, yeah. Noah Gregson, and Ty Dillon back in 33rd. Not good company.
All right. Doug, I'm going to start with you on this okay. one. Final one here. Corey Heim should be at the top of the Cup prospect list for 2026. Corey.
Oh, everybody is so anxious to move these people. Sure, why not? He's really effective in trucks. But beware of the hype monster because it gets behind you and then you get to Cup and you realize this is really hard.
It is. It is. And I'm going to say green flag too. I mean, look, he was the best finishing 2311 car yesterday. Granted, I know, circumstances, whatever. I think that was his second Cup race at Kansas, so he has had experience there before. But I think he's a good shoe, and I think he deserves a Cup ride.
Brad at the top of the list?
Green flag. He should have been at the top of the list, and I think he was in 2025. There was just not an open seat for him. Corey Heim, for a couple of years now, has been, in my opinion, the hottest prospect to move into Cup full-time.
And I got to hear Brad Gilley on one of the truck races this year say it's Heim time.
Heim time.
And that made me smile.
Hey, we watched it last year at North Wilkesboro. He's a defending winner this weekend of the truck race. Yeah.
He's about to get another trophy up there, too, I think.
All right, Doug, you're up.
All right, thanks a lot, Kent. We've got to come back and give you one last thing and prep you for the All-Star race.
Riders, start your engines!
Atlanta Motor Speedway is built for battles. High speeds, tight packs, dramatic finishes.
Crossover move, they're three wide for the lead.
But you've never seen Atlanta Motor Speedway like this, under the lights, where every moment feels bigger. Experience the Quaker State 400, available at Walmart, Saturday, June 28th, under the lights in Atlanta. Get your tickets now at AtlantaMotorSpeedway.com.
Hey folks, it's Doug Rice. Did you know you can take PRN with you anywhere by downloading the PRN mobile app? You can listen to our live races just about any place on the planet, and you will not miss a second of the action. Plus, you can hear our shows like the fantastic editions of Fast Talk, plus Brett McMillan on the Pit Reporters and Mark Garrow with Garage Fast. Get all the latest racing information right at your fingertips. The PRN mobile app, available at the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
I'm Ty Dillon, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
A NASCAR memory with Doug Rice and Kyle Petty.
They established the Hall of Fame. First two people that get in, besides your dad, is Bill France Sr. and Bill Jr. Your time behind the wheel overlapped with Bill Jr., didn't
yes,
it?
Yes, for sure. For sure. I was called to the truck many times while Bill Jr. was in there. But you know what? What I remember about Bill Jr. as much as anything was being a kid and him sitting and talking to my dad or talking to my granddad. And Bill Sr. would be in some of those conversations. But you'd sit down at the racetrack and they would talk about where the sport was and where the sport was going. Bill was never satisfied with where the sport was. And that is the one thing that I came to admire about him. At the time, I didn't. At the time, I didn't appreciate it as much. But, you know, I'll never forget we were doing some stuff and I was driving for Felix and I was called to the truck and I was reminded gently by Bill France Jr. that this was his sport. And if I would like to participate in his sport, that I needed to kind of change my ways. And I changed my ways so that I could participate in his sport.
All right, this coming weekend, NASCAR heads back to North Wilkesboro, third time for the All-Star Race. The Motor Racing Network will have the play-by-play. And Brad, they are cramming a lot of action into a weekend once again, but they have allowed folks to buy single-day race tickets way in advance this year.
Yeah, this is great, though. But, you know, Friday we've got the Cars Tour at North Wilkesboro Speedway, plus we have practice and qualifying the Pit Crew Challenge for the All-Star Race. Remember, last year, the 2 years running we've done this at North Wilkesboro Speedway, the same pit crew has won. 2 years ago, they were Ty Gibbs' pit crew. Then they switched over to Christopher Bell's pit crew and won it again. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes Friday, Saturday. We've got the Truck Series and a lot of really cool things as well. Sunday, it's just going to be awesome. You know, the Open, the All-Star Race, we start the day with a modified race. You and I are going to be there all day, every day. And don't worry, Alexis, My travel plans are secure.
Okay, good.
And last year it was some motorcycle maintenance that gave me a little bit of a hiccup.
That's right. I couldn't remember exactly what
it was.
I
think you should drop by and make a cameo.
Yeah, potentially. We have a babysitter lined up for Friday night, and I had mentioned to Jordan, I said, hey, maybe we'll go to North Wilkesboro?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Did your husband bite on that?
I don't know. We'll see.
Well, he works in the racing industry, yeah. So that's kind of the busman's holiday.
Right.
You know,
right.
Oh, you're off a day. Let's go to the racetrack.
Right, exactly.
Let's do this right now.
One last thing.
All right, time for one last thing. We can comment about anything under the sun. Brad?
My thing is road trip. And this can apply to NASCAR, this can apply to something else, but as we start to get into the summer months, I love making road trips. I'm probably going to road trip it from Texas to Atlanta. To me, that's like a perfect one, especially with the Saturday night race, makes that road trip easy. And whether you want to go to Indy, whether you want to go to the Chicago Street Course or Watkins Glen or Sonoma, which would be a nice one, pick a road trip, but make it a little more than that. The great thing about our NASCAR weekends is they last over a weekend. It's not just typically a single day event. You know, a great example of a Sonoma road trip, depending on where you're coming from, you could go to Yellowstone. You could see a lot of other cool things that our great country has to offer. But there are so many things out there. I would say find a way to make a NASCAR vacation into a full-blown vacation. Hit the road, go out there and see some of our really beautiful national monuments and a lot of other cool things.
Alexis?
You know, as long as I've been in this sport, one of the things I've wanted to do and still have not done it is spend a weekend camping at the racetrack. And just hearing Brad talk about road tripping and all that, it made me remember that, you know, that is, in my opinion, one of the funnest things you can do is take, you know, your camping stuff, take your RV, whatever it is that you have, to the racetrack, spend the entire weekend there, bring a group of friends. Like, that's one thing that I have, one way I have yet to experience a NASCAR event or a NASCAR weekend personally. And I really have that on my to-do list. The other thing I wanted to mention is, I know we talked a little bit about Mother's Day before, but I just want to shout out my mom, Elizabeth Perkins. She watches the show religiously, so I'm sure she's watching now. Hi, Mom. Love you. And my mother-in-law, Deb. So thanks for being great moms.
Elizabeth, thanks for watching. You help single-handedly propel our video streaming numbers every day. So we always appreciate that. And, you know, I want to tell you how much I enjoy doing this show with you two. It is so much fun. I officially retired last year from going on the road and calling the races. But keeping this connection to the racing community with Brad and you, Alexis, and David and Kent back there behind the glass, it means a lot. It keeps me in touch with the racing world.
I have to say, when you announced your retirement, the first thing I thought of was, you're still going to do Fast Talk, right?
That's right.
I'm so glad that you made that decision, because I really enjoy my Mondays just as much. It's fabulous to get to spend it with you, too.
And we realize that this is not as hard a core racing show. We want to have a little fun. We want there to be some, what is it called, infotainment. A little bit of information. But if we make you laugh along the way, then that's a win for us. Enjoy the All-Star race this weekend at North Wilkesboro Speedway. I hope they get one like Brad Gilley was talking about, where we're talking about the race on Monday morning when we come back in here, and not just about the fact that North Wilkesboro is back and they had a race again. I'm hoping they have a slam-bang affair with a lot of cautions and a lot of bumping and grinding and all of the things that we love so much in this sport. For the folks behind the glass, Kent Bernhardt and David Stiles, of course, Brad Gilley and Alexis Erickson, I'm Doug Rice. Be sure to enjoy NASCAR racing when it gets close to you. And you know what? We will be back here next week. We'll be talking about the NASCAR All-Star Race at North Wilkesboro. Plus, we'll be ready to preview the Coca-Cola 600 here at Charlotte Motor Speedway. And tickets are still available for that. But don't delay too long, because it sold out last year, Alexis.
Yeah.
I got a quick story. I got to be the honorary pace car driver last year. So we get in, and the NASCAR pace car driver is talking to me. And I went around and I did the preliminary laps earlier in the day just to show that my feet could reach the pedals.
I went with you.
That's right.
Yeah.
And
I was in
so
the car.
We did that. Then I get in the car for the real pace laps. And he looks at me, says, hey, nothing to be nervous about. You've done a lot of laps around this place. Said, yeah. He said, except it's sold out. There's not a seat left. And there are millions of people watching on television. And if you screw up, every race car driver here is never going to forget that.
God, what a nice guy.
I was good up until that point, and I was petrified. Thankfully, here's the inside news. They use cruise control in the pace car for the opening laps because it's supposed to go 45 miles an hour and to keep it consistent. So once they put it on cruise control, all I had to
sit back.
Turn left.
Yep.
All right, thanks a lot to our great staff here. We appreciate everybody listening. Back next week to break down the All-Star race, and we'll have a whole bunch more Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.